It is again my privilege to welcome you to our broadcast today, and I do so as always in the name of Christ Jesus my Lord, desiring only that honor and glory be unto him, that Christ be exalted in the midst, and if indeed he, the Holy Spirit, will attend our way, will guide and direct, undergird and empower, this will be the case. Thus we do honor our God in the Trinity of his persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We believe that ours is a Trinitarian salvation, that is, ordained of God, procured, as it were, by God the Son, and thus applied by God the Holy Spirit. And so we worship one God in three persons, don't understand it, but believe it. Know that that is what is taught in the Word of God, and that we just simply rejoice at all of the revelations of God. I rejoice as I read of the love of God. And I think of the Apostle Paul and writing to various ones concerning the impossibility of being separated from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of Jude writing to keep yourselves in the love of God, and thus to understand that no man saith, Lord, Lord, but by the Spirit of God, and that it is he that prays with groanings and utterings that are beyond us, and how I am just simply marvel at the fact of this so great salvation and at the voluntary work of Jesus Christ, my Lord, in coming into this world, taking on himself the form of sinful flesh, making himself or becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then I rejoice, though, that he has risen again and that he has been given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This would be to the consternation of those who choose to walk in a way of obedience or disobedience before God. And I say that in the sense that there are many, maybe some, that would hear my words today as I would endeavor to exalt Christ in our midst, but are disobedient to that command that is given to all men everywhere to repent, to recognize that they are fallen, that they are undone, that they are incapable of delivering themselves, and are bidden to fall upon the mercy of God, confessing their own unrighteousness, seeing themselves as God sees them, as undone, unfit for heavenly companionship. And nevertheless, he has manifested his mercy. And this, he sent his Son into the world, took upon himself that form of sinful flesh, as we've already alluded to. He suffered my penalty on Calvary's cross, rose again the third day with that resurrected life, and it is even this that he imparts to believers. And we simply rejoice in the privilege that we have of setting forth this glorious truth, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I give thanks for you, for any that might be listening just now, for the privilege of sharing these things, knowing that it's not apart from God's purpose in grace that this be so. And so I would urge you to give attention to that which you're about to hear, because we will again endeavor to set forth, not myself, I'm nothing, I am only an instrument in God's hands, but to declare unto you the glory of God in this that he has chosen to reveal through the salvation of unworthy sinners such as I. And so if you know the Lord, may you be built up in the most holy faith. If you do not, I bid you fall upon his mercy, seek his face. There is salvation in no other. And then I would invite your attention to a passage of scripture today. found in the first chapter of the book of Romans. And I'm going to take a bit of an unusual tack and deal things slightly different from what I normally do, but we'll nevertheless try to unfold some things out of the Word of God, trusting them to be a blessing to you. I'm going to read the first 12 verses of Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. And I ask God's blessing upon the reading of his word. May we receive it indeed as the inspired word, as his preserved word for us unto this hour. My message today is that of giving thanks for people. And I come to one verse here in this passage of scripture. I'm going to comment on a good bit of it. But nevertheless, in verse 8, we read these words after Paul had gone through some greetings and some commendations and such things as that. Then he said, though, before he went on to the meat of what he was about to say, and in this chapter, we'll read where Paul says that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But before he gets to that, he says this first: I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, with that thought in mind, and I want to look to several places in the Word of God dealing with the matter of giving thanks for people. And the thoughts for this message came to me many years ago as I was in a conference, and a dear brother, preacher friend of mine, as he got up to preach, he read this text, and in particular, verse 8, and the first thought that came to my mind is, what in the world is he going to do with this text? And in the next several minutes, he showed me very forcefully, I should say that the Lord showed me through him and brought all these things to bear in such a way as to show me that everywhere in the scripture, we find those paths that lead us right to the Lord Jesus Christ, even when it is through giving thanks for other people. And so this we would understand. While we love each other and are concerned for the well-being of each, it is important that we see each other as the product of great grace and mercy. God gives this to us through others. And so what I'm saying by that is quite simply that we have many in this world of whom we have a great fondness for, It may be neighbors, it may be friends, and it may be casual acquaintances. It is especially true concerning family and our what we normally term as loved ones. But then we have those through whom we witness the operations of the grace of God. We see the evidence in them, in their lives, in their conversation, in their way of communication, that they are the product of a work of grace, of the regenerating power of He, the Holy Spirit, having been brought through repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore have become precious to us. And so quite often I find myself in that way now, as time goes on, especially, that I am more and more conscious of the value of people that God has placed in my life, has caused me to cross paths with, knowing that they have had, and He has had thereby, a positive effect upon me, and has brought me to the place of seeing that it's not about me, it's about us. It is especially about us together as we acknowledge Him. And so that's the sweetness of fellowship among the Lord's people, is that we have not only that love for each other, but it is a love that is born out of a common love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are experiencing together the love of God for us, every one. And so I want to pursue this thought, that is, of us being the product of great grace and mercy, and that these are the things that we can understand in our relationships with each other. And we would endeavor then to explore this thought from several examples that the Apostle Paul gives us throughout Scripture. The tendency in men is to see themselves, and we all to see ourselves, as self-sufficient. How often have we witnessed this in endeavoring to do someone or show someone a kindness? They would kind of let you know that I'm doing okay. I don't need anything. I'm fine just the way I am. And it may be something as simple as giving someone an assist up a step. It may be in whatever. Just the other day, as I was seated, and I'm at that point where I think about it when I get up, and once I get up, I stand there for a moment and make sure of my next step. And as I started to get up out of a chair that I was deeply seated in, I saw a hand extend to me. My first thought was, I can get up on my own. But I took the hand and received that assistance, and how precious indeed it was. And so this is one of those things that, whether we sense it or not, whether we understand it or not, that we are dependent on each other. And we need to be receptive to that idea. Oh God, deliver us from this thought of independent thinking, because when all is said and done, we have nothing to recommend us under the favor of God. We are the products of His mercy, wherein He has not given us what we deserve, which is to be in hell, but has shown us grace, which we do not deserve, that we might function in that way of love and efficacy in the economy that God has set before us of love, of grace, of tenderness, of mercy, and of such things that are witnessed to us in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we know not that this tendency to see ourselves as self-sufficient, and of course we know this is not so with regard to salvation, as I just said. It's begun and continued by His grace. But Paul drew from what he saw in others, and so should we. And so we take a brief look at this passage. The first thing he does is acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's always important that in any consideration of the Word of God and of any blessedness that we receive, that we acknowledge him. So he calls himself a servant, and he uses the term slave. That is doulos. It is that which means a bond slave, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Now there is the special promotion to an office that was designed for that era, for that time, in bringing about the penning, if you will, of the New Testament scripture. And Paul is an integral part of that, separated unto the gospel of God. This was what it was all about. In other words, that had become his purpose. He was, using the word separated, is to be separated from the world and unto God. Cut out of the herd, so to speak. Brought out for special purpose. And this he had done. And it's separated unto the gospel of God. This is that which the mystery has been hidden, was hidden for generations, but now is made manifest by the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was that which was given unto the apostles and continues with we who would preach that glorious gospel of Christ Jesus our Lord. And so it is concerning his son, Jesus Christ. There is no gospel apart from Christ, apart from all that he has done and all that he has accomplished, and which he was made of the seed of David. So he did come as a man into the world, but he is also declared to be God manifest in the flesh. And Paul states that in the fourth verse when he says, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And so here we've got God the Father, we've got God the Son, and we've got God the Holy Spirit, all mentioned in a few verses here in the opening part of the book of Romans. And so Paul then would confirm his apostleship, and then he would go on to say something else, that we've received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And then he said, among whom are ye also, the called of Jesus Christ. And so he is extending his greetings to the saints at Rome, called to be saints, he says in verse 7, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is, before anything else, however, he would give thanks to God through Christ for the issue of their faith, obviously not praising them, but recognizing and acknowledging fully the work of grace in them. And so because of that, because of the image and superscription manifested upon the hearts of these people, he was able to give special thanks for them. And so we may look and be thankful for many that we have seen, but I am especially thankful for the believers that God has placed in my path, that he has caused me to interact with. And I find myself so often in my communications with them. Not only do I pray for them, I thank God for them. I am able to rejoice not only in my salvation, but in their salvation. I am able to witness the fact that God is glorified in their lives. And so for this reason, we would praise God, especially for such as we have been made to know, such as we have been privileged to share the gospel with and to rejoice together over the truths of God shown us in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so may we expand this thought. And obviously, as we see what Paul has done with them, and I've already sort of alluded to what I'm about to say here, but we would expand this thought to many situations wherein people have touched our lives. I can go back, and as people come to my mind, some now with the Lord, that I have met that have had great influence upon me, literally not just they impressed me. And I've heard that, boy, he's really a great athlete. That really impresses me. Or, boy, he is really smart. He knows a lot. No, no, that's not the impression that I'm talking about. I'm talking about that my life was affected through what these people presented to me or through my encounters with these people, and recognizing that it was the grace of God in them that brought these things to pass. And so we not only that, but I would pose this. Have we ever been reminded that we through Christ touched someone else? Now, for the most part, God's people are not going to be aware of the fact that they're touching somebody else. And I say that for this reason, because in humility, we go about the business of obeying God, and part of obeying God, and an integral part of it. What are the great commandments? Well, there are two. One is that you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the second is like unto the first, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And so as we go about seeking to obey and seeking to be identified with, to follow the example of Christ Jesus our Lord, then we, as we interact with people, and I have had people on a few occasions, not too many, but and perhaps there may have been more. I don't know. It doesn't matter, because as I look to the Lamb of God, that's the one that I am primarily concerned with. But that we have been reminded that we, through Christ, touch someone else. To have someone come to you and say, you know, you probably don't remember me. Well, yeah, I do remember you. There was something that you said to me. Now then, where my memory may fail me, but I have never, they would say, I have never forgotten that. And my life has really been affected by that. And it's there, even in preaching messages, that to have someone say, I didn't know why I was coming here today, but the Lord spoke to my heart through you. What a wondrous blessing. Doesn't make you feel proud, it humbles you. Who am I that any should pay any attention to me? So throughout the Word of God, here's what we find. The Corinthians, in spite of all Paul could say about them, and they weren't the best behaved, there were a lot of problems, but he could say in the very first chapter, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And thus, in looking to many places in the prison epistles, for example, Paul would write to the Ephesians and saying, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Again, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And of course, all three of those epistles were written from prison. And so there, as he would remember these people, what is he doing? What are you going to do for me? No, it wasn't it. I thank God for you. I thank God that I've had the privilege of knowing you. The Thessalonians, who were a troubled people, Paul just continually gave thanks for them because he had witnessed a mighty work of grace in their lives. It was enough that it caused them to turn from idols to serve the living God. And so Paul would write to them, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. In the second chapter, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In the third chapter, Again, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God? Boy, Paul was really a thankful person, but listen what he is giving thanks for. It is for people. It is for the persons that God has saved, for the people that have witnessed, borne witness to the grace of God in their lives. And again, in a very powerful passage of Scripture, we're bound to give thanks. This is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, or it's good that we do that, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds. Here again, it wasn't about personal gain as far as Paul was concerned. It was about the witness of what God had done in them. And then I come to one that is very critical. And this is in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. And we read these words, "But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." Listen to who, how he identifies them. These are you. You are brethren. You are beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit. We have borne witness to the operation of the Spirit of God in and through you. And that work of the Spirit, that sanctification of the Spirit, that set you apart, that has made you holy, and you have believed the truth. And let me read it to you again. "Bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctifying work of the Spirit." You must be born again. "And belief of the truth." You have trusted God. You are found looking to Him. And so, that being said, we are given even more difficult challenges. It's good when we are able to witness, and Paul talks about the witness of a work of grace in the lives of individuals. But here's a more difficult case. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he said, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." And he goes on to point out for kings, for those that are in authority, for whoever they are. Oh my, to be able to look about us and see the things that God has providentially ordered in our lives and to be able to give thanks for them. And again, sometime as you're considering, when you start to think of people or whatever, but first, I give thanks. First, to give thanks for them. Praying for the grace of God in all, looking for the evidences of God's blessing to us in all things and especially in people. Oh, my friend, fall upon the mercy of God just now. There is hope in no other. Thank you for listening. It's our delight to bring the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace to you. These broadcasts are also posted on our website at www.riversidebaptistchurchwv.org. We of the Riverside Baptist Church cordially invite you to attend our services at 10 and 11 on Sunday and at 6:30 on Wednesday. We're grateful for the support of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Gallagher, West Virginia. Their services are at 10:30 and 6 on Sunday. And now may the Lord bless you is our prayer.